Good morning. Or should I say good evening because it's 7:30 p.m. in Ethiopia. I noticed this morning I forgot to change my watch. So youth, you're late for your lock-in. Better get back there. That's crazy, man. I remember going to lock-ins and loving it. No, I need my sleep now. So when you came in this morning, you might have looked up here and wondered, what in the world is she going to talk about? I am a teacher by trade. It's innate in me, so I'm going to teach. That's okay. And I like to have fun when I teach, so I'm going to try not to put you to sleep. And if I do, well, maybe you need more sleep at night. I try to have fun when I teach because I think learning should be fun, and we should be lifelong learners. And the most important thing is that we need to be lifelong learners of the gospel, right? Lifelong learners of the Bible. Speaking of the Bible, I chose the Message version. But I also refer back to the NIV because that's what I grew up on. But actually, I started at the King James Version as a child. And then when I started quizzing here, I learned the NIV, which really confused me sometimes. And maybe that's why I wasn't a great quizzer. I don't know. But I really like the way the Message says it because it's kind of like putting it out there so everybody can understand it. You don't really have to like think, what's God talking about here? So we're going to work through it. And like a good teacher, especially a good special ed teacher, I have a little outline if you'd like to follow along and fill it out. If you need some notes or you need to doodle, there's a back page here too. Draw a picture. I'm with you. I understand. We're all kinds of different learners. So I brought my visualization. I'm speaking to you. And I'll move around a little bit to keep you alive. That's the nice thing about these mics. But, there we go. Questions? You start a new year. You know, it's the last Sunday of 1990. Wow. Maybe it's because I grew up here. That's why I feel like I said that. Last year of 2013, it is 2006 in Ethiopia right now because we are 7 years, right? 13 minus 7 is 6. That's correct, right? So it is 7 years behind in Ethiopia, and their Ethiopian New Year is actually on September 11th. Now, I believe that some big thing happened September 11th here in the United States. Anybody recall? 9/11, what's 9/11 represent to you as Americans, to us as Americans? I'm American too. I'm going to be asking questions. I need your responses. Yes. Okay, so that was in 2001. That was a time that I think a lot of Americans kind of like started to think, wow, like we are not invincible. And we need to kind of have a reality check, right? I mean, I was in Paraguay when that happened, and I was like, what? Like, I remember being kind of shocked about that. That is Ethiopian New Year in Ethiopia. So September 11th, I always remember the importance of it here as an American, but it's also our New Year. And so I already kind of started thinking about my New Year because it started a couple months ago. But now that I'm here in America, it's 2013. And I'll think about New Year here. So I want you to just kind of think about that. Like, you've had a past year. Maybe it's been a great year. Maybe it's been an okay year. Maybe it's been a terrible year, and you're like, when is first going to come? All right? But as we begin this new year, let's ponder, or let's, what's the word ponder mean? Come on, I know you guys are smart. Think. Think about it. Thank you, Sarah. So we're going to ponder some questions. All right? Now, I think Kevin took these pictures, or Paul, one of the two, when we went to a museum in Ethiopia. So I just brought along some pictures to show you what pottery is, because we're going to be talking a lot about containers. So these ones are basically made out of clay. These ones are made out of a wide variety of things. It could be straw, it could be beads, I see some shells there, wood. There we go. And here's some older pottery, which is definitely shows a lot of, about Ethiopia. Because I want you to be thinking about what is the purpose of a container. That's the first question. What is the purpose of a container? And when we're talking about the purpose, and we're talking about a container, we're talking about ourselves, okay? I'm using things here to represent it, but you are the container, okay? Everyone said that. I am the container. Okay. So when we're talking about container, you're talking about yourself here. All right, so I'm going to hold up some objects, and I want you to tell me what would this container hold. Okay, Diet Pepsi. One of my siblings or their husbands were drinking that yesterday at our gathering. Icebreakers. Sorry, it's empty. Water. Good old Giant Eagle. Big Bird. Yeah, life water, right? Buna, get you going in the morning. All right. What about this? Trash. Gorshasha. Rubbish, as my British friends would call it. And, yeah, we'll stop there for now. So you get the idea. Every container has a purpose, right? Well, you have a purpose, too. Thank you. Someone's awake. You have a purpose, too. And I want you to think about, I borrowed my mom's fine china, which they brought over from Spain, but was made in Germany. So it's very international. And here I am, a missionary to Ethiopia, holding it in North Huntington, PA. So it's come a long way. And this is fine china, right? My mom would not put this out on the table when we were growing up, when we were just having our everyday meal, right? Usually it came out for the special occasions, the holiday meals, or, I don't know, something like that. So it has a special purpose, right? And this is the fine china. It's crafted, it's delicate, it's beautiful. So we wouldn't just take this and just throw it across the room, right? Not only would my mom get mad at me, but, I mean, it's worth something. It means something. And when we had this out at the table growing up, we knew that this was a special meal. Correct? So you have containers that serve fine things, but then you also have containers that serve or that have just rubbish or garbage. I mean, I wouldn't put this on my table and kitchen and then dump all my food in there and say, dig in, right? You wouldn't do that. But this has this purpose and this has another purpose. So what is the purpose for your container? Think about that first. That's question number one. Okay? Question number two. What is your container made out of? What is your container made out of? So, we have my mother's fine china, which I don't know what it's made out of. Anybody a china expert? Fine china. Fine china is made out of fine china. And then we have good old Corral, which, I mean, as a missionary, I've seen this kind of plate, like, all over the world. Like, this, I think, is a typical missionary setting because it's pretty cheap, right? You're not going to cry that much if this breaks. You can easily replace it unless I'm in Ethiopia. But this is a pretty, like, everyday common thing, right? Most of you would use this. You can use it in the microwave, which is great. It's dishwasher safe. But then we also have, like yesterday, when we had like 16 people at the house, and, well, when I was a kid, we used to have to do 16 pieces of fine china dinner, but now my mom's gotten smarter. Well, no, it's not smarter, but now because I'm not in charge of dishes, she does this. And so we easily just throw it away, right? And I don't know if we actually have 16 pieces of fine china, and so that's probably why the reason we do this. So this is disposable. Right? This is disposable. As soon as we're done with it, we throw it away. Correct? So think about it. We have something that has a special purpose. It's holy. Well, this isn't holy. But our lives should be holy and prepared to do any good work. Or we have something that's common. Do all kinds of different things. I could use it as a frisbee. My mom's not going to yell at me if this one breaks, right? So this is common. And then this is disposable. So when I'm done, I can put it in here, right? And then we have things that are even specialer than that. And these things are brought out only during special occasions, but different than this, because I could use this for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, whatever. But this, when would my mom bring this plate out? Christmas, right? So I want you to think, what kind of Christian are you? Okay? You are a container. What kind of Christian are you? Are you a fine china that only on the special, special occasions will you show other people that you are a Christian? Are you an everyday piece of china? Are you an everyday Christian? No matter what you're doing, no matter who's eating at your table, you're going to show them Christ. Are you a disposable Christian? Only when it's convenient, just to make life a little bit easier. Less garbage, but how are your landfills? Ooh, do you have landfills anymore? You know? Disposable? Or are you what we call an E&C Christian? Easter and Christmas? That's when you really follow God. That's when you're like, yeah, love Jesus. What's your container made out of? Just think about that. Ponder that. So I have two containers. I have a plastic clear one and a black one. If I was to take this nativity scene, and it doesn't fit, but if I was to cover it up with this black thing, could you see it? Very good. The answer is no. You might be able to see the ends of it, but can you see what the importance is of it? No, you would just say, well, kind of, what is that? But if I take this same nativity, and if I put it inside here, and it does fit at an angle, can you see it? Can you see the purpose of it? I mean, you may not be able to see it crystal clear, but you could still see it much better than this. This is a container full of sin. This is someone that has not accepted Christ because they have not been washed. So this is a container of someone who has received Christ. They understand when Christ came to this earth as a babe that there was a purpose in it, that he had to die on a cross. This is an Ethiopian cross. But he had to die on a cross for us so that we could live eternally with him. And so this is what's inside of our container. If you are a Christian, you understand his birth, his death and resurrection has given you eternal life. And you now have a light that you can shine to everyone else. But if I put this, can you see the light? And what's it say in Matthew? Let your light shine before men, they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Why would you take a candle and hide it under a bushel? So put it in your container, your clear container for everyone to see. Because these are ways that God has blessed us. And I challenge you to think this afternoon, what are other things that you could put in here that you want other people to be able to see? This is how God has blessed me. These are the things inside my container. Does that make sense? All right. Moving along. So question number one is, what's your purpose? Question number two is, what's it made out of? Question number three, can you present? And question number four is, are you transparent together to others? Or do they have to kind of guess what you're all about? You know, if you're just an E&C Christian, just talking about God whenever the big holidays come along, but you're not an everyday Christian, are people really going to be like, what do they believe? Maybe at your work, nobody knows that you're a Christian. Maybe at your school, nobody knows. But here in youth group, here in church, oh, you're all about God. Which plate? Are you transparent? Do you let people really see the Christ in you? All right. So those are questions to think about. But then I can't just like say bye, have a nice day, and try to help you think about, well, how do I become a container that's like this? Okay, I want to get rid of this. No more of this. No more garbage. I want to get rid of that. How do I become a container like that? All right? And I challenge you to like go back to these passages and read them and kind of pick these things out. But these are ideas that I got out of it. Well, first one is, which way are you running? Or in some cases, some of us are not runners, so which way are you walking? Or wogging, as I call it, walk-jog. Are you running towards the infantile indulgence. No. Where's it at? I have so many things up here. Oh, yeah. Yesterday, my nieces and nephew were using this cup. Right? I don't remember who. You guys are here, so do you remember, Maddie? Okay, so Grace was using this cup, my second niece. When I was a child, or my sisters were children, or my brother, we would use this cup. It would look kind of silly if, like, all the adults are sitting there drinking out of their Campbell's cup, right? So you need to get away with that infantile thing. Use your fine china. Make sure you stick your finger up. But you don't want to have this infantile mindset anymore. You're not a child. And those of us who have been in Christ for a while, it says that we're not supposed to be drinking milk. We're supposed to be eating solids. So it's time to upgrade. Your cell phone companies are always saying, upgrade your cell phone. Well, it's time to upgrade your faith. Okay? No more plastic cups. You're an adult now. You can handle glass. You can handle fine china. All right? So don't be thinking about those infantile things. What's this? Dad, what's this? It's a jaguar. Okay? Oh, I need to have the best car. I need to have the biggest house. I need to have lots and lots of money. These, even though, like, as a child, you don't really necessarily think about, I have to have a car. But as an adult, these are now your infantile indulgences. You're thinking about, what are my evil desires? What are the things that society is saying, I must have a lot of this? And I will do whatever I need to do to get it. I will walk over whoever I need to walk over so that I can take care of numero uno. That's number one. Okay? These can be indulgences, vanity, technology. Even though these things, like technology is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful for it. But if we're all about getting the next gadget, the next gadget, the next gadget, the next gadget, it comes a point where you're thinking, what is your God? And why are you using your God? What are you using this for? Now, there are places in the world that now we can reach because of technology, thankfully. But what are we using it for? It goes back to the purpose. Okay? Instead, we want to have God's Word. We want to have love. Okay? We want to have these things. These are things that we want to put in our container so that people can see that we're running towards these things, not towards these things. Right? Run away from this stuff, run towards this stuff. Alright? Second question, who are you hanging out with? I'm going to address like the youth first, and then I'll address the adults. Okay, youth, you are like forming people in friendships that can last a lifetime. Okay? These are people that are going to influence you, influence your decisions you make, and make you understand better who God is or who society says God is. So you have to form friendships with people that know God and love God. I'm not saying never be friends with non-Christians. The non-Christians need our friendship. But those close, close, intimate friends, they need to be Christians. Okay? They need to be Christians. Because they are the people that are forming your mindset. Okay? All right, I'm done talking to the youth. Now let's talk to the adults. Adults, the people we hang out with influence our decisions. Sounds familiar, right? They will influence our view of money, our view of material things, our view of what society says is success. We're hanging out with too. It's not just the youth. It's also us, because the youth are looking at us and saying, well, mommy and daddy doing this. So we have a bigger responsibility, adults, because they're watching us. Okay? Who are you hanging out with? Bad company corrupts good morals. Full stop. Period. Okay? Who are you hanging out with? You need to make sure you're hanging out with the right people. Because that way, people will see your friendships and see that your friendships are helping you to grow in your faith. What's your speech like? Ooh, this is tough. Anyone have trouble watching what comes out of your mouth? Yeah, I do. Are you the person that's like, I love you? Or, did you know that person over there? What comes out of your mouth? I saw Nain came up in the message. And Nain means foolish, silly. And it says, you get involved in inane or foolish discussion, like discussion about things don't really matter in life? Or do you speak about things that have purpose? Is God part of your conversation? It's a hard thing to do, especially around non-Christians and around people that don't understand God, but our job is to help people to understand God. So, love, that needs to be in there too. And then, are you kind to other people? Are you kind to people? Do you have love in your heart or do you have hatred in your heart? Do you gossip about people or do you speak the truth in love? Do you speak kind words or unkind words? Do you forgive or do you still have unforgiveness? We don't want this. This is not good. Bye-bye. Ciao. Okay? We want people to be able to see Christ in our container. All right. Now, I thought it was hard with what comes out of my mouth, but this is a really hard one too. Do you argue with others or do you listen to them carefully? This is supposed to be an ear. Do you argue with others? Like, is your way their highway? Or do you actually listen? And I've learned in ministry that if you automatically from the get-go say that you're wrong and tell people that their faith is just completely crazy and out of this world, you've already put a block up in front of you. And they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to anything you have to say about Christianity. But if you sit down and you listen, and in Ethiopia we're going to do this over a cup of buna probably, a cup of coffee, we'll sit down and we'll talk and we'll say, could you tell me something about the Islamic faith? Because I live in an Islamic community. Could you tell me something about what you believe and why you pray? And I hear the call to prayer all the time. What is that about? How often do you do that? And then when you're listening to their life and interested in their life, then they're going to say, oh, this person must care about me. Can you explain to me why you pray differently? Or who you pray to? Or, you pray any time. You don't wait for the call of prayer. So you need to listen carefully and not just sit out there and argue with people about things. Be a listening ear. And it also puts in there, it says to keep their cool. I don't know about you, but that's hard. I've had a temper since I was a little kid. And it's hard to keep cool, especially when you feel very passionate about something, right? So keep your cool. Listen, and don't argue. People are looking for people that will listen to them. They really are. I've had so many conversations with people in airports, on planes, like on the road. Like it's crazy. People want to talk, so listen. Listen calmly, listen clearly, so that you can ask the right questions. And don't worry about trying to figure out, will I know the answer or not? Okay? That's why I think a lot of people don't want to talk about God as much because they fear like, oh, I won't know what to say. God will give you the words to say. Okay? Even like right now as I speak, I have my thoughts and ideas down, but God is continuously helping me to know what to say. So God will help you. Don't be afraid about that. Okay? Be a listening ear. All right. Here's the top 10 list, because it's the end of the year. Top 10 ways to do this. Have I given you anything to think about yet? Okay, good, because I've been thinking about it too. Top 10 ways. Number one, roll up. Get your mind in gear and be ready. All right? You have a certain amount of time here on this earth. Don't think I'll do it tomorrow. do it today. And live hard. And live till the end. This church is blessed because it's multi-generational. There's a lot to learn from the older generation. There's a lot to learn from the younger generation. There's a lot to learn from the youth. You guys can learn from each other. But you got to work, all of us, until the day that God calls us home. Keep working, okay? Can't go to the timeout clock and punch out. God's going to take your time card and punch that out for you, okay? But until then, work hard. All right, second one, I might step on some toes here, just so you know. It says that you're not supposed to go back to your old habits because you really don't have an excuse for that. Because you didn't know before you had Christ in your life, you didn't know that that was bad. You didn't know that that was right. But now that you have Christ in your life, you know better than that. Okay? So you can't use, how do you know an excuse? Because it's not an excuse. Like I said, maybe some of you are going, ow, because I stepped on your toes. But you can't use that as an excuse. You know now. You know that that's sin. So stop sinning. What did Jesus say to the woman who had multiple husbands and then was with another man who was not her husband? Go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. I'm not condemning. He just said, go and sin no more. Now you know. You have no excuse. Stop doing it. Baka. Baka means stop. All right? Be holy. Aim to be like Christ. Put the stuff in the rubbish bin, in the garbage, and get rid of it. Get out of your sight. Don't look at it. It's done. It's finished. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is. That means don't need to worry about it. It's done. He paid the price. So stop living in your guilt. Stop living in your worst. It's God's forgiven you. And look ahead. Because God has a lot He wants to do with you. All right, moving along. Call out to God. You're going to have to ask God for help, okay? You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. No one here can do it by themselves. I'm sure if I've asked anyone in this room, have you been able to get this far in your life completely by yourself, would you be able, what would you say? Have you done it by yourself so far? No. And if those of you would say yes, I would probably ask you, my next question is, how's that going for you? You know? You have to ask God. He's there. He's always going to be there for you. Always. Always. Any time of the day. No matter what time zone it is. Always there. Always. So call Him. Ask Him. Don't be lazy. Don't be Kai Wei, as it is in Guarani. Don't be lazy. Don't just say, oh, I'll do something about it, and then go, and just sit back. Yeah, but Rachel's doing it over there in Ethiopia, so I guess I'm good here in the United States. And Pastor Bob, he's preaching on Sunday, so that's good. Well, Bob doesn't go to your work every day. And I'm not there. And you know I have a big mouth, and I will talk for you. But I'm not there. You got to do it. So don't be lazy. Do your part. Because guess what? Whatever you do is because God created you to do it. God created me with a set of skills, and I tried to use those for His glory. But you have a skill that I probably don't have. Or you can do something probably better than I could do it because God made you to do it. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that you're better than me or any of those things. I'm just saying that you have a purpose. So live with that purpose and do things with that purpose. Does that make sense? Don't be lazy. Don't say Joe Schmo down the road is doing it. No, you do. One of the things I always have in my classroom says, responsible for your own actions. Gates, you can't say, that. No, God's going to say, what did you do? I'm cutting out here. That means I need to finish up. All right, God should be part of everything. Everything in this box. Number 6, Everything in this box, God should be in control of. Everything. Go back to relationships. Really has to be part of them. If your relationships are not God-centered, your relationships are not going to be successful. Okay? If you depend on yourself for what you're supposed to say, but you don't ask God what you're supposed to say, then yeah, you will mess up. And you'll say things you shouldn't say. Everything should be God-centered. Everything. Marriages, relationships, friendships, siblingships, if that's even a word. Everything. Everything. That's hard. All right. Last four. Trust God. Yeah, that sounds nice, Rachel. I'm glad that works for you. Well, let me give you a little insight into my life right now, just so you realize that trusting God is something that's really, it's really hard for me right now, but I'm going to try the best that I can. So I came back to the States to be here with my family during this time right now. I had to leave about 2 weeks early from the semester so I could be back. So I packed up everything. My house is in boxes right now in Ethiopia because I don't know when I'm going back. And I don't know what I'll go back to. Because if I stay here for an extended time, that means I won't go back to teach at Bingham because I will come and I'll do my home assignment. And then I'll go back and I'm actually going to step into a new ministry. I'm going to be an educational consultant for homeschool families. And I may start that after being here in the States for a while. Or I may be here for a little bit. I may go back to Ethiopia, finish up at Bingham, come back here, do my home assignments, and then go do the other ministry. So basically, this next year is like all up in the air. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, which makes me think like, okay, do I need to buy a car? Do I need to find a place to live? Like, you know, like I have all these big questions going through my mind. Like, what's going to happen with my mom? Like, you know, what's my role in all that? Like, there's all these things that I'm going through right now. And I have to trust God because He knows. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that God knows what's going to happen. So I know I stand up here and say I trust God. But just so you know, like God is actually putting me in a trial right now as well. My heart's in Ethiopia, but my heart's also here. I have to trust God. His timing is perfect. And I have to follow the truth. I have to follow hard after God, because if I don't follow after God and everything's not centered on God, then I won't be able to trust Him. Right? Because then I'm leaning on my own strength. Number 9 is love one another as if your life's dependent on it. Have you ever really depended on somebody for something? You need to love people in that same way. Like they are like the next air that you breathe. You need to love the people around you. And then the last thing is to remember that God's word endures forever. No matter what you go through in life, His word endures forever. That's why it says to hide His word in your heart. Because you can always go back to that and pull that out and say, well, God, you promised me this. And I know I can lean on this when I'm going through the hard time. Or in my joys, you've given me this promise as well. So there's a couple things to think about this afternoon. And I'm not promising that's going to be easy because I'm still figuring it out. If any of you figure it out, let me know. But with God, all things are possible. That's what Mary said, right? She was only 14 or so. And she said, you know what, God? Let your will be done. And with you, all things are possible. Because she saw her purpose. She knew that she was going to be an everyday person that followed God. She knew that she was blessed. And she let other people see that container, as hard as it was for her. And she said, with you, God, all things are possible. So let me pray for us that God can help us to do that, because we want our light to shine and we want the candle to keep burning, because we're going to get tired. And that's why I think the candlelight service is great, because it shows that we can help each other. We can keep each other with our candle, our flame going, when our flame can't burn anymore. So let me pray for us as we close up. Father God, I just want to thank you for this time to share. Thank you for this time that we can think about the end of the year, but also look to the future and look to what you have in store for us for 2014. And I pray that you will help all of us, including myself, to think about the containers we have, think about our lives, and think about what people are seeing when they see this, when they see our lives. Do they see you? Do they see you every day, or do they just see you when it's convenient? Do they see you through the good and through the bad? And I pray that as we trust you and as we lean on you for the strength we need, that you will be with us and guide us. Thank you, and I pray you'll bless all of us now as we leave, and I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing?